Grace and peace to all of you in the name of Jesus the Christ. To all of you who gather for worship in person or online through the ministry of Facebook live stream, we welcome you unconditionally to this first Sunday of Advent 2022. The service of worship originates from the sanctuary of the Mayflower Congregational Church in Lansing, Michigan. I'm Pastor Mark McCormick, joined by our worship team, production staff, and our special musicians, the Mayflower Bell Choir and the Mayflower Chancel Choir. Our liturgist today is Roger Kennedy. And today's Advent readers are Bill and Sue Baldwin. Well, I hope each of you had a great Thanksgiving, okay? Did you? Okay. I had one of my favorite beverages, which was just plain, simple dairy eggnog. I have to tell you, when I saw the calorie count on there, it just made me feel like I was about ready to drink something good. And I guess that's a weakness of mine. I didn't put any Verners or anything else in it, but I did enjoy some eggnog this week. You've never heard of Verners in eggnog? Anybody? There's some people that like that. Well, anyway, Deanne and I did enjoy our typical whirlwind trip to Virginia to be with my son Kyle and significant other Stephanie on Monday evening in Richmond, Virginia, with a breakfast following. My son is a chef, and I want to tell you, we enjoyed some good food there even before Thanksgiving. We then traveled to Virginia Beach on Tuesday to be with Deanne's son and family all the way through Thanksgiving Day. Even when we tried to get the Lions a victory, came close, didn't we? Then an early trip on Friday morning to be with members of my family, many of them in Leesburg, Virginia, including my son Bryce, daughter-in-law Sarah Francis, and grandson Rhodes, who was the star of the show. He was born on Easter Sunday. Some of you will remember when I announced that from the pulpit. It's just kind of a privilege I have as a pastor as I get older, you know, and the kids come along. May as well tell you, too, as long as we're announcing that I was given a little correction on this, but nonetheless, I said it when I heard the news, and the news is out now, that Deanne is going to be a great-grandmother. And her oldest grandchild, who was married in July, already is pregnant, and that was wonderful news. And so when I was talking to Natalie about that, I said, you know, I always wonder what it would be like to be with a great-grandmother. And she said, you know, that works both ways. So I guess I could consider myself an up-and-coming great-grandfather. Well, we had an uneventful drive home in perfect weather yesterday, and I hope is true for you that the Lord was with us and the Lord blessed us. I would like to say a word of thanks to all who helped in the decorations in our sanctuary, lobby, and friendship center yesterday. And believe it or not, I did miss you all. I thought about you about 10 o'clock yesterday morning. If you were here and just were able to help yesterday, just raise your hands. I think that deserves another round of applause. One of the things that we have done in the past and will be doing it again this year as volunteers from Mayflower Congregational Church for just one day, December the 21st, which is a Thursday. Is that correct, Roger? Wednesday. It's Wednesday the 21st. There is a sign-up sheet in the lobby for people who would be willing to ring for 2 hours for the Salvation Army, the bell ringing. We've done it in the past, and so if you could look at that sheet and if you could offer up, you and perhaps someone with you could be there for a couple hours to ring the bell. That's always been a special time, and the Salvation Army appreciates us as a congregation doing that right up close to the Christmas holiday. It's more difficult to get ringers at that time. As you will hear a little later in the service, the songs and season of Advent are different from Christmas carols and Christmas celebrations. Now, while there is no rule against singing carols during Advent, we are going to host a Christmas Carol sing-along following the worship service on December 18th in the Friendship Center. So that'll be our time during the church calendar celebration or observance of Advent to get in some Christmas carols before it seems like we scrunch it all on Christmas Eve and Christmas Day. So we want to join in the festive part of our season by doing that. So if you have a request, and we've already gotten some, give that to either Barb or Deanne ahead of time so they can adequately prepare and we can sing like we know what we're doing. Today's worship theme is "The Future Is Now," taken from a passage in Paul's letter to the Romans, where Paul encourages the believers to keep awake and alert for the day, which is drawing near. We will explore how that theme relates to our season of Advent as we all look forward to Christmas. Let us now worship God.
Thank you. Good morning, Mayflower family and friends.
Good morning.
It is good to welcome you on this first Sunday of Advent. As you can see, the preparations are well underway for a season that some would call the best season of all. The decorations in our sanctuary and Friendship Center look so nice, thanks to a group of volunteers who sacrificed time and effort yesterday to get the job done. But these beautiful adornments are only a small part of the story. In the beloved community, we make spiritual preparation for the coming of Christ, just as John the Baptist, Joseph, Mary, the shepherds, and many others did. So while God gave us the incarnate Jesus in the first coming, and so many, including the Apostle Paul, have been disappointed in all the waiting for the second coming, we are called to make the most of here and now by being faithful and living in harmony with peace with one another. That is the essence of the beloved community. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we have begun the Christmas season with all the excitement it brings. But in the beloved community, we are called to set the example of preparations which go well beyond the decorations, parties, concerts, and cookies. Help us, O Lord, to put aside the lower instincts of our human nature, to touch the divine with our spirits, our hearts, and our minds as we sing, pray, listen, and reflect during worship. May we wait for the coming of our Lord with joyful expectation as we continue to love and care for each other and recommit ourselves to serve and care for the least of all your children. So come, Lord Jesus, quickly come to our hearts, our lives, our communities, and our church. This we pray in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen.
Today we light the first Advent candle. This is the candle of hope. With Christians around the world, We use this light to help us prepare our hearts and minds for the coming of God's Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. May we receive God's light as we hear the word of the prophet Isaiah. The people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who lived in a land of deep darkness, on them light had shined. Let us pray, Lord, as we look to the birth of Jesus, grant that the light of your love for us will help us to become lights in the lives of those around us. Prepare our hearts for the joy and gladness of your coming, for Jesus is our hope. Amen.
The Holy One of Israel says, "The rain and the snow come down from heaven. They water the earth, causing it to bud and flourish. In the cold of winter, you will be like a well-watered garden. Your Redeemer, the Rose of Sharon, will come to Zion. Blessed are all who wait for him."
Thank you.
A word of thank you is in order to you, the Mayflower congregation, for the continuing generous response to our Harvest Sunday offering last week of food and financial donation to the Lansing City Rescue Mission. If you still would like to donate to that, feel free to let Lorraine or Linda know that you'd still like to do that, especially if you're not able to do that this morning and would like to, but it is a word of thanks, and I'm sure that thanks will be returned to us from all those who work so hard and give sacrificially and work sacrificially so that women, children, and men can have a place to stay and food to eat. This season of Advent and Christmas reminds us of our blessings, and is a good thing to be sensitized and educated concerning the needs of our community and world. So thank you, Mayflower, as we now participate in the sacred act of worship by the giving of our time, our talents, our resources, and indeed our very selves. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. Eternal God and our loving Lord, we thank you for the opportunity many of us had to enjoy Thanksgiving with family and friends. Help us to be able to alleviate some of the pain of those who could not be with family here in the beloved community. Be with those in our congregation who have yet to complete their travel plans. Bring them safely home. We thank you for the bounty of our land, and we ask that you would give guidance and help in our care over the planet so that we can participate in the sustaining of the health and vitality of the earth for future generations. Lord, we know that evil lurks not in a gun, but in our desperate search for answers to gun violence that once again haunted our society. This week in Chesapeake, Virginia, we ask for you to help us receive a reality check, perhaps in the halls of Congress and in our state and all the states somehow, as guns are way too easy for anyone to obtain, and forgive us for our silence. Be with those who are desperately grieved as a result of the terrible violence, in this case, workplace violence. We thank you for the quick response from law enforcement, many of whom, all of whom, are willing to put their lives on the line. Now, Lord, there are many other needs that come to our mind in this troubled world, and we do offer our prayers privately. Yet we do find joy in the safety and security of this sanctuary among those here in your beloved community called Mayflower. So, we remember those who are at the top of our prayer list today. We pray for Linda Riley, as she is now in hospice. We pray for little Sophia. We pray for Darlene Wirt. And many others, some who come to our mind, and we mention their first names now. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of the power in prayer when we all pray together in one accord like this. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Today's New Testament reading is from the book of Romans, chapter 13, verses 11 through 14. After 2,000 years as the church has waited for the return of Christ, it has often drifted into various forms of distractions concerning the end times, which can prevent faithful living in the world. Paul encourages us to avoid complacency by turning our hope in Christ into an uneasy impatience with reality as we double our efforts to live in harmony with each other while working for justice, equality, and peace in the world. And this is what the coming of Christ means now and forever. Hear now these words. Besides this, you know what time it is, how it is now the moment for you to wake from sleep. For salvation is nearer to us now than when we became believers. The night is far gone. The day is near. Let us then lay aside the works of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us live honorably as in the day, not in reveling and drunkenness, not in debauchery and licentiousness, not in quarreling and jealousy. Instead, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to gratify its desires. Thanks be to God.
Let us pray. Lord, in the somber moments of some of which we do in Advent, we pray that we would never forsake the joy we have in worship and in togetherness and in service. Now bless these words, humbly offered. In the name of Christ I pray. Amen. Color purple, right? Things change today. It's the first Sunday of Advent. What is it that gets you into the Christmas season? If I held a microphone, and I'm not going to do that because I did it last week and it was great, but not every Sunday, but I would suppose we'd get quite a list here this morning. And I want to tell you, especially for those of you who may not know me quite as well, I have a very long list. So you'll have to indulge me here a little bit today. First, as I have indicated in the past, I am a sucker for Christmas music. And I began this tradition soon after November 1st, and some people say, bah humbug. I don't let that stop me. I subscribe to Apple Music, and I found a new channel this year, you might call it a genre, on Apple's streaming service, and it is called Classical Christmas. And I listen to it every chance we get. And Deanne had to listen to it for a ways in the car this week. Now, I have another confession to make, and this one makes me feel a little funny, but I am used to being honest with you. I like watching the Christmas episodes on the Hallmark Channel. Deanne and I start watching those about mid-October. A lot of times, that's all there is to watch, I guess, something that's wholesome and nice. Now, most of those episodes, if you've seen them, are painfully predictable. They almost always involve romance, and that's not a bad thing, especially if Deanne and I are just home watching movies. And they're... Well, somebody always wants to take it just a little farther, but that's who we are around here at Mayflower. But nonetheless, there is usually a glitch in the relationship and a breakup before the relationship becomes permanent. And I have to tell you something you might not have known. That happened to Deanne and me back when we were dating. We had a little glitch. It got solved when I said, I'm sorry. And we got back together, even though we were 2,300 miles apart. Most of those Hallmark episodes glorify life in small-town America, as there seems to be a prejudice against living and working in a big city. Seems like it's always going back to the small town. Nevertheless, in spite of the predictable plots, the sentimentality, and a possible overemphasis on the Christmas season, I admit it, folks, I enjoy watching them. Well, I enjoy Christmas concerts. The Men of Orpheus. That December 9th, Roger?
Correct.
All right, and the Capital City Ringers. I'm not sure I got that in my mind. When's the Christmas concert?
Second and third, Friday and Saturday.
Friday and Saturday, second and third. So that's this week. Yep. All right, Dan, write that down for me, would you? And for us, a Messiah concert. I don't like to get through a Christmas season without the Messiah. So we're going to the concert on the late in the afternoon on the 18th of December at St. Christopher's Episcopal Church in Grand Blanc, Michigan. And maybe a few others along the way. I have already listened to the complete work of Handel's Messiah by the London Symphony and Chorus, once again on Apple Music last Monday in the car on our way down to Virginia for Thanksgiving, and fortunately my wife likes it too. Some people, it's like, oh boy, it's too long, okay, or whatever. But that was my tradition when I was a young kid, and it stuck with me. And I'm still deciding whether or not I want to spend $100 on a ticket for a fantastic production of The Christmas Carol at the Meadowbrook Theater in Auburn Hills. What do you think?
Yeah.
Okay, all right. Looks like we might be going, Deanne. Anybody ever seen that production? It is fabulous. So we'll see what happens. Well, another production I'm looking forward to, if you want to call it a production, is our annual Christmas Eve observance on Saturday, December 24th. The penultimate worship celebration, which happens just before the big day. It is the culmination of all the preparations we make beginning today and carrying through the first of the year. Actually, those preparations have gone on much before today. And I hope all of you, especially those that are here in town, can be here for that. And of course, we always see a lot of family members, which is very special. Our music director, Barb, and I will be finalizing some of those worship plans for this week for one of the most special events of the year here at Mayflower. By the way, we are giving you Christmas Sunday as a day off from our worship routine so you can celebrate with your families or however you do it this year. There will be no worship service on Christmas Sunday, but I hope there can be a residual effect from the night before in your own celebration from the worship experience, which will occur again on Christmas Eve. Oh, I'm going to go on here. You have to indulge me. I love Christmas lights. They started popping up in our neighborhood around the 1st of November, and it got me all excited. Some consider turning on Christmas lights before Thanksgiving an abomination, but obviously I disagree. Deanne was a little less enthusiastic about our outdoor decorations being turned on before Thanksgiving, but she did wrap some beautiful green lights around our dwarf Alberta spruce trees that line our outside entrance. She did that a couple of weeks ago, and they were illuminated last night, right after we put Frosty out on our front stoop. Who's Frosty? You might have already guessed. A big 7-foot-tall blow-up snowman with a light inside that requires an electric air pump to keep him upright and waving to the neighbors who drive by. And when we drove away from the house today, we waved at Frosty, who was waving back at us. This is now the third year he has graced the front of our house. I love Frosty. And I love Santa Claus, too. I love the faith of the original Saint Nicholas and his generous tradition of gift giving to the children, which part of our tradition lingers today, the gifts that we give to children. And by the way, my birthday lands on the day of what is known as the Feast of Saint Nicholas. You'll have to look that one up. Accordingly, if I had my way, I'd put a large Santa Claus with his reindeer up on our roof with icicle lights dangling beneath the roof line of the front of our house. But you can imagine one of the reasons I married Deanne was to temper my irrational enthusiasm and exuberance about some things which can blow the budget and appear as overkill. I do think she appreciates my enthusiasm, however. Although there is some reluctance toward pre-Thanksgiving Christmas celebration in many communities, I have noticed some communities, especially smaller towns, putting up their street decorations and lights by mid-November. And in spite of the reluctance, I have a feeling it has a positive effect on community life. And I think that the symbols which remind us of the spirit of Christmas have a positive effect on the beloved community too. Take a look around again. Did you notice it when you came in? I'm looking at that beautiful wreath, the way it's set up under the clock. And you're going to see some tables in the back, right? That have new decorations. Not in the back, in the Friendship Center when you come back. There you go. Correction. So the decorations are so beautiful. The Christmas tree and the poinsettia is beautiful. Unfortunately, Deanna and I missed the annual communal decoration effort that took place yesterday as we were traveling back from Virginia. But in spite of all the hard work and heavy lifting that occurred, I understand you had a blast, right? Okay, you did. Had fun. Now, in this lectionary passage read today from the lectern, the Apostle Paul was writing to another beloved community located in the capital of the Roman Empire. Conflicts had broken out between Jews and Gentiles, especially after the Jewish Christians had returned to Rome following the earlier expulsion by Emperor Claudius in the year 49 of the Common Era. So there was theological conflict in the church and political conflict with Imperial Rome when the government put pressure and exacted intimidation upon the Christian community, which often fought among themselves. Paul argues in his letter to the Romans that God's righteousness has been made manifest in the gospel, the good news which has now become available to all believers, regardless of their different human conditions, such as their ancestry, their status, or their gender. In his letter to the Christians in Galatia, he wrote, "There is no longer Jew or Greek. There is no longer slave or free. There is no longer male or female, for all are one in Christ Jesus." The bottom line in this particular setting was that in the face of intense scrutiny and pressure from the government, the way to overcome evil and resist the oppressive government was of all things to live in harmony with one another through love, which does no harm to a neighbor, regardless of where that neighbor comes from, whatever that neighbor's ethnicity is, whatever that neighbor's social status or class is, or anything else that was considered different. Under these trying circumstances, Paul introduces the idea that the night is almost over. The earliest signs of the dawn have appeared and the day is near. That day he was referring to was a day of the Lord, which in some sense runs through the breadth of Scripture, and when Christ would return and all would be made right. Paul believed that the day of the Lord was imminent. It's obvious when you read his epistles. And believe it or not, Jesus believed that the end was near too, and he told us that he did not know when he would be returning, only the Father. 2,000 years later, the day of the Lord is still in the future. Regardless of all those ominous warnings we have heard, many in our lifetimes, endless books and movies which scare people into believing, and some have believed because of it, but the Left Behind series of 16 novels regaling readers with the drama of the final bloody end of history, those novels sold 65 million copies. In addition to the accompanying movies, must be a lot of interest in this subject. But with all the vain predictions which have convinced people sometimes to sell all their goods and flee to the mountain to look for the return of Christ, only to be miserably disappointed, it is easy now to become numb to the fact of our bedrock Christian belief that history does have a final goal of ultimate reconciliation and redemption. We live in a different time and place than the community Paul addressed in first century Rome. While most of us have lived in the bloodiest century of human existence, the 20th century, as Americans, most of us have lived in relative security and peace. In spite of some of the family difficulties I endured as a child, I experienced much love and nurture in my family and church. I enjoyed school, had lots of friends, played sports, and avoided having to serve in Vietnam. So the message of the second coming of Christ, which was taught with explicit biblical detail, did not seem altogether pleasant for me. I didn't want to leave. I wanted to stay. And the same may be true for you. For many of us, the only times we might think about the end times is at the end of our lives, in a severe crisis, when pain becomes unbearable, or when we experience unimaginable sorrow, or even yet when our bodies have simply worn out with no hope of reversal. So what does this have to do with the way we Christians celebrate the season? There is a difference in how the beloved community should prepare for and celebrate the Christmas season. One of those differences is something we call Advent. If you say Advent, Happy Advent, to somebody on the street, they'll look like at you like, what planet did you just arrive from? In the mindset of the unbeliever, Christmas celebrates an event so long in the past, so long ago in the past, that its meaning is often obscured. And we don't judge people for that. Sometimes we fall into the same trap. For us, however, Advent puts us in between both the first coming and the second coming of Christ. We keep the story alive by our reenactments and retelling of the event which changed history. We keep alive the dream of prophets and personalities of ancient Israel, one of whom declared, I know that my Redeemer lives, and at last he will stand upon the earth, a statement which was born out of unimaginable suffering. The prophet's hopeful gleam of the future, which declared that every valley shall be exalted and every hill be made low, the crooked straight and the rough places plain. And the glory of the Lord shall be revealed, and all flesh shall see it together. For the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory shall be seen upon you. And the Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. The people that walked in darkness have seen a great light, and they that dwell in the land of the shadow of death, upon them has the light shined. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. With all this background, the Apostle Paul picks up on the ageless hope that light has come into the world and that we are to put on the armor of light as if it were a protective piece of clothing. Even though the great hope of history has yet to be revealed, where the lion shall lay down with the lamb, the leopard with the kid, the cow and bear will graze together, the lion shall eat straw with the cow, and little children who play unknowingly around deadly snakes shall not be harmed. The hope of the world lies within the ability of the beloved community, that's you and me, to emulate this reality with our hope that the day of the Lord will finally arrive. But until then, the future is now. It goes without saying that we in the beloved community live with a moral compass and avoid the works of darkness, living honorably and avoiding fleshly pleasures which harm ourselves and others. Now, Paul's reference to gratifying the desires of the flesh does not mean that we do not or cannot enjoy the pleasures of being human in our bodies with good food and drink and times of merriment and dancing. The desires of the flesh refer to anything contrary to the will and purposes of God. But the keys in this passage are the core values of living in harmony without quarreling or jealousy, so that the beloved community becomes an example to the world, the best of the kingdom lived out in peace and harmony with each other, where our hope in the ultimate future of the kingdom of Christ becomes a reality, regardless of external circumstances. This hope translates into an uneasy yet certain motivation to bring the light of the world into the effort to resist oppressive governments and systems, to advocate for justice, and to never become deaf to the cries of the needy and the poor. As the organization World Vision puts it, empty bellies have no ears. But all these things are easier said than done. That is why we observe the season of Advent within the beloved community. We take the time to reflect as we prepare, remember, reenact, and yes, repent. It doesn't mean that we are prevented from singing Christmas carols or joining in the cultural joy of the season. If so, I guess I wouldn't have put Frosty up. But if you want to sing some Christmas carols, come for the Christmas carol sing-along, and we might sprinkle one in a worship service. Regardless, in all of this, Advent is a time to renew our commitment to live faithfully, love wastefully, and hope eternally, to the glory of God, now and forever. Amen. At the close of many worship services, the pastor gets up and says, "Peace be unto you," or "God grant you peace." But I'm going to turn that around today, and I'll tell you why. Because I was away this week, and I had a good time. Three different stops, great food, eggnog, and wonderful weather. But this is the place that I feel peace from you. So thank you for extending peace that comes from our beloved community, and it comes to my heart today as we offer peace and love to one another. Go in peace. Amen. Again, am I on? There we go. Thank you, Kim. Is this a good start to the Christmas season? It is for me, folks, and it goes well beyond Frosty or eggnog or Christmas lights. Those enhance everything, and even more so the beautiful decorations in this lovely sanctuary. But the loveliness of the sanctuary is because you're here today. So God bless you all as we now sense and pursue togetherness as we eat some goodies in the back and fellowship with one another. And you can stay for as long as you want. Amen. See you there. Well, pretty much.